part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Fanboy.com.
This is Part-Time Fanboy, and my name is Christian Horn, and I am on the line with Rich Bernatovich, right? I pronounced it right, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it right.
Yeah, very good, man.
Yeah, see, I listened to our previous interview, and I was like, I'm going to get the name right this time. So I got the name right, who is the head of Drumfish Productions, correct?
Yes,
correct. And I have been a very big fan of your work for a long time because I discovered one of your books called The Sentinels, or just Sentinels, at the San Diego Comic-Con like years ago. And I became a big fan. And then I think I tracked you down like at the New York Comic-Con, or we bumped into each other or something. Or
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, or did I email you and then we did the interview and then I ran into whatever. Either way.
I think it was you emailed me. Yeah. And then we ran into each other again at New York Comic Con.
Yeah. And we did that interview like 2 years ago, and it was a very good interview. I listened to it, if I do say so myself. It was a fun time talking to you.
Oh, cool.
But you are sort of branching out into something different recently, and I saw you post about it on Facebook, and I was like, oh, this is really cool, because this is sort of a different, I mean, I know you've kind of done webcomics before, but now you're working on something else that is kind of like strictly webcomics, right?
Yes. Well, we did digital release only, but never like a webcomic where we did like an update every week is what we're doing. We're doing a new page every week. So it's more like the traditional web comics that everybody's doing, you know, where they have a new page every week or every twice every week, but I can't handle that. So I'm just doing one a week.
Yeah.
You know, but we also had digital comics. We got into the digital stuff like a couple of years ago.
Yeah. But this one,
web comic.
It is called Koa. Did I pronounce it right?
Koa, yeah.
Koa?
Yes. It looks... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it looks what?
Interrupted. It looks like it sounds different, like the name looks different, but it is Koa. I should have, you know, I tried to play around with the wording a little bit. A lot of people are saying Koa, but it's Koa.
Oh, yeah, no. See, I got it right. I got your name right, and I got the strip right. That's like 2 out of 2. I'm like batting 100 right now. I'm awesome.
Yeah.
And it's called Koa, and this is going to be, your plan is to do, it's a page a week, correct?
Yes, a new page every week on Tuesdays, the day before a new comic day. We figured that was a good time to release it. Plus, it gives me the weekend to finish up anything that I might need to finish up for the page. But I have a little bit ahead. Right now, I have a little lead time because I've been working on it for a while.
Yeah.
So I do have a little bit of a lead time in case I miss a week or something with my own production.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, listening to our previous interview, you had mentioned like, oh, I'm going to be doing something for the web, a web comic. And that was like almost, I can't believe it, but it's like almost been 2 years since that last interview.
2 years, yeah.
So it must have taken a while to sort of like pull this all together.
It didn't, you know, like I've learned things change, and I'm kind of one of those people that sometimes talks about things a little too soon because you always hit a bump in the road.
And, I hear that.
You know, I think everything happens at the right time. So probably if I had started this 2 years ago when I first started with the idea and it was being published, it would probably be a totally different book, totally different feel. I connected with a colorist that I really am in sync with, and I think his coloring really makes this story come to life.
Uh-huh.
And before he was involved, it just wasn't feeling right. And I was trying to color it myself and doing everything on my own. And it's a little much. So
yeah.
Having at least the colors, because I wanted to do something where I wrote and draw and drew it. So I kind of scrapped everything I had done before, which I've done that numerous times with different products. And you know, you just have to be able to do that. You know, you have to be able to throw away the stuff that doesn't feel right.
Sure, sure, sure. And before we go on, I mean, everyone can read this comic at koacomic.com, and that's Koa with a K, K-O-W-A, comic.com. And yeah, I mean, I've been looking at the pages that you sent me, and I'm looking at the website, and yeah, it is, I mean, visually, it's absolutely beautiful. What's the colorist's name?
Thank you. His name is Ior Loboda.
That's
he
right.
From the Ukraine.
That's right. And he does a lot of your stuff, correct?
Yeah, well, he was a colorist that worked with one of my fellow collaborators, Jamie Faye, and him had done a little bit of coloring on some pinups and stuff. And then he did a couple of the panel prints that I do online. I do artwork like that. And we just really connected. And then we were doing the revisioned and colorized version of Sentinels, which is what we've been doing digitally.
Yeah.
Where we've taken the old stories and we're kind of adding pages, fixing the text, and colorizing it along the way. And Luciano did a couple of those. He was the original artist on Sentinels, and he colored a couple of those issues. And we weren't really intending to do it unless we were picked up by somebody else wanted to put it out there. But then Comicology came along, and we did really well on there. So we were like, oh, we'll continue it. And I asked Ior if he would be interested in coloring it, and that's how he started doing sequential coloring for us.
Sure.
And along the way, I've gotten to know him really good. And, you know, I had this web comic I was developing, and he wanted to be involved with that too. And I was like, hey, sold. And then him and I also have another comic that we're doing.
Oh, wow.
The first issue is finished, penciled and inked, but he's still coloring it. And that's, that's an adult story. It's more like, well, it's like teen and adult. It's a dark story. It's called Blessed Sons. And
Blessed
kind
Sons.
Of like a horror-esque type book.
Yeah, I see it on your website.
Artist on that.
Yeah.
He's actually doing the actual interior art. So
he's
actually an artist himself.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So you're writing that, and he's doing all the complete illustrations and stuff?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
That'll be finished in a couple months, but we'll probably put it out in the spring.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
That's great. So, but Koa right. itself is sort of more of a kids oriented book, right? That's what you had said.
Absolutely.
Sort of more for a younger audience.
Well, it's for all ages. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not just for kids. I wanted to do something in the line, along the lines of Bones, you know, the comic Bone. Yeah. I wanted to do something that all ages could enjoy. And most of my stuff is very mature, and you know, I had a nephew who it took him a long time before he was old enough to read some of my stuff, and I always, you know, was kind of bummed about that. And that's why the revised Sentinels that we've been doing, we have cleaned up a lot of the language and the nudity that was in the book.
Boo.
So we've edited it a little bit, yeah, for the colorized version.
Sure.
But but this is geared specifically towards all ages. I think anybody can enjoy this, at least. Yeah. I hope.
Yeah. No, I was reading some of the pages that were done, and there's definitely a Bone feel, but there's also something to me. It's interesting. My daughter and I, kind of on Amazon, we watched or started watching the first episode of The Last Airbender because she had never seen
nice.
It before. And it definitely reminded me of that as well. Like sort of like these young sort of like preteen or teenage characters sort of discovering the world.
Right. A coming of age story, which is you know, something everybody can kind of relate to, you know, in different ways.
Yeah.
And I'm very influenced by Disney in this regard, too, because, you know, I watch a lot of those old classic Disney films, you know, and I wanted to have that kind of a feel, too, which might not come through, at least for people who are looking at it. But for me, having that kind of vibe in my head helps to make it a little different type of book, you know?
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's definitely very colorful. I mean, it really pops on the page. Like everything is, really, gorgeous looking. But this is not sort of, these are not sort of like humans. They're sort of like little, sort of like gray aliens with, sort of like Wolverine sort of pointed foreheads going on there. I mean,
yeah, they all have different horns and stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely aliens. Definitely on a different world, different reality. I wanted to play up different cultures and cultural themes and tribal themes and things like that. So the horns, they all have like these horns or growths or things that come out of their head, and they're all different shapes. They're all different coloring with their tribal markings, which have different meanings for different characters and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
But yet they're humanoid. You know, they are humanoid. So I don't think they're too out of the ordinary for people to relate to, I hope, at least for kids.
Definitely. I mean, they have a very sort of like clean but elegant look to them. You know, when I say gray, there's also a lot of like highlight color, like you said, sort of like tribal markings and stuff like that. What made you go with sort of a, I mean, you know, when you say alien, I mean, they are humanoid, but they don't look like humans. I mean, they're sort of like very out of the box. Is it sort of an easier, maybe simpler design to draw, like less, no noses, no, is that what
it is? Yeah, absolutely.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of the reason I wanted to do this. Cause I mean, I'm trained as an artist, but I'm more a writer.
Yeah.
So I can like sit down and draw, and it just takes me a lot longer than it would say Luciano or Jamie or Eeyore, that I work with, and Danielle, who is a colorist that we work with on Nevermind also. They're all like extremely talented artists, and I just don't have that same ability to do it fast like them and be precise. And plus I'm a perfectionist.
Sure.
So I wanted to develop something that was simplistic, that was more of an animated vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And play around with, you know, just facial expressions through the eyes in a lot of ways, but without having pupils and stuff. It's difficult, but I think it comes across okay. At least I hope it does. And I think with the coloring that Eeyore does, it adds that little bit of realism that it needs to set it off.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely does. And it's a very sort of appealing design too, because they have like very sort of big eyes and sort of open faces, you know what I mean? And it's interesting because I, you know, when anybody says sort of like simplistic sort of facial design, that doesn't mean it doesn't look good. I mean, it is a very professional looking, you know, comic strip. This is, or comic, web comic, you know, a lot of people sometimes are, well, I guess now it's a little less of that, but it seems like some people are put off by web comics because they do lack that sort of professional visual appeal, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why it took me a long time to develop this. I wanted to get it right. I wanted to do something that had the same quality I feel like I've done in the past with the printed material.
Sure.
And also be able to do it fast enough that I can do a page a week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's sort of the interesting thing, because, you know, I mean, how far, I mean, I know you sent me pages, but I mean, I got a lot of questions. First of all, you've got these great character bios on the page. How, I mean, you've created a completely new alien world. How deep into this are you? Do you have like reams and reams of like notebook pages of like how the world works and like what the structure is, and like, or are you sort of flying by the seat of your pants a little bit, or are you doing both?
I'm somewhere in the middle with this, which it's a totally different approach than I'm used to working.
Uh-huh.
Usually I'm very structured and I have the whole thing like meticulously beginning, middle, end, everything plotted out. And then I like to just fill in the middle and play around with it that way. Like you hit your different beats, you hit your marks, like old acting terms, sorry.
And, yeah, no.
and then you can have fun in the middle. But with this, I know what I want to do. So I know the basic outline. I have the history of the series down pat, so I know the storyline is going to go. What's going to happen, but I'm kind of playing fast and loose. I have about 2 dozen pages sketched out loosely, but just the other day I changed around a couple things and added 3 pages in between one area.
Oh wow!
So I'm just, you know, so I'm just having fun with it, and just, you know, once it's printed, it's printed. It's a great exercise in forcing myself to do this. Like I have the text written, and I find myself not even using it. And then once the page is drawn and colored, and everything, I just sit down and I'm finding that I'm rewording stuff. So it's fun. It's a different experiment. I've never done a web comic before. I don't really know anybody who's done web comics.
Oh, really?
I don't really have anybody to get advice from, except for Luciano, who has his own web comic called Sereno.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And his is all in Spanish, but he's done an English version also.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. I'll send you a link. It's very cool. And he gave me the advice that, you know, because he's like, you just have to jump in. And I was like, oh, what's this? And then finally he just said, just start posting. You're going to keep procrastinating, which is what I was doing. And so I just built the website and started posting. I'm like, okay, here we go. We got, you know, you got a dozen pages down and, you know, you'll just start doing it.
Yeah. So how does this...
Hopefully I'll just stay on top of it.
Yeah. No. I mean, for me, it's like, obviously this is sort of differing from the print stuff that you've been doing or even the Comixology stuff. How does this, since you're the one drawing it, are you doing like fully scripted pages? Are you doing sort of Marvel style, like for yourself, like writing out paragraphs of like the structure of the pages? And then as you go, do you change it? Like, how does your process work for this as opposed to how it was working for the print stuff where you probably, right? I mean, I would imagine that you had to sort of more be like tighter with the descriptions when you're handing off pages to a different artist, correct?
Right. Of course. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, working with every artist that I've worked with, I've developed a rapport with that they're all kind of different. With Luciano on Sentinels, I would just write, it was kind of like just, I'd set the scene and then just do the text, and he would break everything apart.
Oh,
okay. Into the pages. Like at first I did breakdowns of everything, and then we just got to work so well together, I would just give him the script.
Sure.
And he would break it into panels. With Bug, the Straight to Trade book I did, that was totally script, description, panel, page breakdown, everything like that.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's different with everyone. It's kind of the same way with Eeyore that I'm working with now. I kind of gave him breakdowns, but we talk every day pretty much, so he can bounce ideas off me if he needs to, and that's the same way with Jamie on Nevermind, where, you know, he's here in the city, so we can talk to each other. With Koa here, with the webcomic, I'm totally just, I have a plot, I've sketched it, you know, I have notes, I have dialogue written and stuff, but then I just sit down and start drawing the pages and I just paste it out on paper.
And are you doing,
it's kind of interesting.
No, because are you doing, cause the artwork that I've sent the artwork that you sent, some of it wasn't completely colored. So you've got your line work. Are you doing these like in pencil and like traditionally inking, or how does your actual artistic process work? Are you digitally inking? Well, how is this
totally traditional pencils and then inking on paper.
Wow. And how long does it generally take you to, say, put together a page?
I can do a page a week easily.
Oh, okay.
If I focus, especially, you know, with the style of the characters and all, I'm kind of getting the groove down now that I'm forcing myself to draw, which is, you know, the advice Luciano gave to me is just start doing it. I'm finding it does flow a lot easier. Of course, one of the pages I sent you took like a long time to do. I think I have like, there's like 100 characters on that one page.
<That's>
I don't know
so
if you remember that one, but it's
no,
like,
I remember
this huge one where they're all looking at two characters and
yeah, they're in like some sort of hall or something like that.
Yeah. And like, that's kind of half the that's pretty much all the characters except for the villain who are in the book.
Yeah.
And so it just took me a long time to do that one, but
yeah,
I figured it needed that.
It's interesting. So, because for me, it's like, you know, as somebody who's tried to start a webcomic and is thinking about doing it again and, you know, has been working. I mean, honestly, I started an idea like 2 years ago and I'm only like 12 pages in or 13 pages in, you know, and that has to do a lot with like finding time to work, but it also has a lot of time to You know, I think I said before we started the interview, I'm very much the type of person that will tear my own work apart. How are you just like, because when you're doing like a week to week thing where I have to do like one page a week, do you find the pressure is on? Like, are you, do you have pressure on yourself, or are you just like, I'm going to just draw this story and it's just going to go the way I'm going to go? And, you know, because now you have sort of like a weekly deadline to keep going. Does that sort of freak you out at all? Because I'm definitely the type of person that would be freaked out by that.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because, you know, because I'm the same type of personality. So I have the same thoughts as you do. And I'm like, oh, I have to do this and all. But I'm also old and I've realized that, like, hey, why are you putting this much pressure on yourself? So, of course, I'm going to try my hardest, and I am pressuring myself. But I'm also kind of being a little kind to myself and saying, you know what? You know, you miss a week down the line, you miss a week. Or, you know, or you put it up another day later, you put it up another day later.
Yeah.
And there's nothing bad about that, you know. I think we as a society, we've just started beating, we beat ourselves up so much. You know, everything's got to be like, oh, you know, I got to post on Twitter, on Tumblr, and this one and that one. Everybody wants an instant reaction, and boy, it's so exhausting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I want to actually, I missed enjoying creating comics for a while. There was a while there where I kind of didn't enjoy it.
Sure.
You know? So I'm trying to get back into that. So yeah, I think it's in the middle there. I'm going to let myself fail if I do, but I'm also going to push myself really hard to keep that pressure on.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, you have a job outside of this, correct? I mean, I remember you used to work for, you worked for the New York Times. So, like, how do you fit that all in? Because that's sort of like another, you know, thing. It's like, obviously, there's a lot going on. You must really be committed to comics.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been committed to comics since I was a kid. It's funny because one of the first people I ever collaborated with was a writer by the name of Barry Liga, who he's a young adult novelist. He wrote a book called Fanboy and Goth Girl.
I think I've heard of this.
There's a couple other books, and God, I'm drawing a blank on some of the other names, but he's very well known in the young adult industry. And him and I worked on a book 20 years ago. And it never saw the light of day.
Yeah.
So we're actually, we just kind of reconnected and have been talking about that. So I think that's always been there for me, you know, but going back all the way back to that time. And it's just funny that, you know, recently we reconnected and we were talking about the material we did, and we're trying to figure out how we can get it out there somehow just for people. Because, you know, I have a little bit of a following. He definitely has a huge following. So it'll be nice to get that out there. But if you don't love it, yeah, you can't really do it. I mean, I work full time. I'm on call almost 24/7, and, you know, have life and family, friends, you know, all those things that everybody else does.
Sure.
But I try to make sure that there's time allowed for me to sit down and do this. You know, I make a schedule and I'll try to find time somewhere where I sit down and just draw.
Yeah.
And I find it therapeutic too. You know, I really do enjoy it. I get, you know, a lot out of it.
Yeah.
And that helps. If you don't like it, you're not going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting because, there's definitely two sides where it's just like people like, I don't know, for me, there's definitely a pressure that I put on myself. And then when I sit and draw, I will just rip it apart. Like, I will just be like, and then I'll put it down. And I'm definitely that type of person that goes back like a couple of weeks later and I'm like, that wasn't that bad. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So, yeah, it's
we're our worst critics, man.
Yeah, it's
I'm
just,
sure your stuff is great. You
it's
know?
Like the total, well, I wouldn't say that, but I mean, you know, that's the sort of thing that I just find really impressive. First of all, like all the stuff that you've been doing, because I'm a fan of it, but now that you're doing this like webcomic, webcomics always seem like, you know, I used to listen to a lot of interviews of, Like I think Scott Kurtz used to have a podcast, you know, the guy who does Player versus Player, like that online webcomic. Yeah. And, you know, there's just always this thing, like, if you don't have 30 pages lined up, like ready to go, then you're not ready to do it. You know what I mean? Like, this is not going to be your living and stuff like that. And the thing that I'm sort of realizing, like, as I go to more cons or I read more articles about the way comics are going, it seems like comics are not necessarily a lot of people's like real profession. Everyone has to do something outside of it, especially if you're sort of like, even if you're like working for one of the big two, right?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, I have no illusions of doing this for a living. You know, to this as my income. First of all, I've been at the New York Times for almost 25 years. So I love it there. And, you know, I have an investment there. So for me to, you know, leave that and, you know, I work with a lot of good people, so I actually like working there. But it, like you said, it's very rare the person who can make a living doing this. First of all, if you work for the big two, you're on salary or you're work for hire.
Yeah.
So you're not going to make your own characters and be able to sell them, you know, like Deadpool is a rarity, you know, that Rob Liefeld gets credit for that and Kevin Tisi. You know, George Perez with the Titans, him and Marv Wolfman, where that was rare that they got the deal where they got credit for creating those three characters, Starfire, Raven, and Cyborg, who have exploded, you know, X amount of years later.
Yeah.
But most of the people don't get the credit, you know, so they got to go indie. And to go indie, you're not going to get the backing and you're not going to get the exposure. So you're not going to have the sales. You're not going to have the popularity.
Yeah.
Sure. There's a Hellboy in there, you know, stuff like that, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
It'd be great, but I just love it. So I just go, okay, if it ever happens, it happens.
So for you, is it like, I mean, are you seeing it? Because it is a business for you. I mean, you do go and you do sell, you have a, you know, very nice polished website, you know, you go to the conventions and stuff. But I mean, is it like a hobby?
I think it's more than a hobby because, like, you know, for a hobby, it'd be like you'd lose money or, you know, you'd do it. I'm not losing money. But I'm not making a fortune either.
Sure.
I'm making money that sustains it and gets me out there and makes it worthwhile, but I could never live off of it, you know?
Sure. But was it always such? Okay. I mean, were you always like from the beginning? I mean, you have to pour some investment into it, right?
Oh, yeah. In the beginning, yeah. Yeah. I had to pour, you know, a lot of investment in it. I was lucky. I ran into, I don't know if I told you how I met Frank Miller at a house party.
No.
And, oh yeah, he this was like back in the day, and he was the nicest guy. He was down to earth, you know. He was really, really friendly, and I talked to him about comics, and I was planning at that point to just jump in and just start self publishing, which is kind of what I do with most of the stuff. I just jump in, and I was going to do just single issues, and He said, you're crazy. He said, here's what you do. You do a trade paperback. He said, that's what everybody's going to get. You're going to have longer shelf life. He said, you'll get more orders that way because people won't have to worry about your second issue ever coming out because most indie people don't have a second issue or a third issue where the story stops, you know, and it doesn't get finished. And that's what a lot of stores and customers are nervous about with indie books.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing this straight to trade. I took his advice, and I got cheaper printing costs going to trade because I print it in bulk. And I had reorders for, 2 years at least on the first book.
Oh, wow.
I constantly was getting reorders. So, you know, that was great because it did have a longer shelf life. It didn't go from the first, you know, this week rack to the second week and then into the bargain bin. It went into the trade shelf.
Oh, wow.
Which stayed out there. So it got a lot of readers. And that was great because I got my investment back and I put it right into the second trade.
Sure.
For Sentinel.
Sure.
So each one kind of built on that. I mean, it was the best advice I got at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And a few years later, I ran into him again. And, you know, I thanked him for his advice and all. And he's like, well, what advice did I give you? And I told him. And he said, oh, God. He said, he said, I must have been drunk or something like that. He made a comment, something like that. He said, you're the first person that I gave good advice to or that worked out for. So I'm glad that happened. It was something along those lines. But he didn't remember meeting me. He didn't remember the advice. But he was shocked that I actually took his advice.
Well, obviously,
which is crazy to me because he's Frank Miller, you know.
Yeah, it kind of worked out. I mean, so how did the economics of that differ from, say, the economics of Koa? Because Koa is straight to the web. Is that why you sort of went straight to the web? Was it an economic decision, or was it just you just wanted to put it out there and not have to wait? What's sort of the reasoning? Because you have been successful in print, so why not do Koa in print?
I'm just watching how the market's changing. I mean, at conventions, I've had to, everything's constantly evolving, and I think today people want stuff on their phone, they want it on their iPad, their computer. You know, everything is digital, and I thought it was something I didn't have any kind of connection with, and I wanted to reach a younger audience. Younger kids don't have money.
Sure.
So eventually I'll do a print version. But I thought this was a nice way to do, you know, I just always wanted to do something like this. And I mean, I come to the conventions now and people don't want to buy books.
Really?
I mean, I don't know if you've seen that. Yeah. You have to really work it. And that's why I've had to do the artwork and the print. And now I got, you know, you've seen my table. I think you've seen, like, all of a sudden I'll have a ton of people there. They're there for the print.
Uh-huh.
That's what the Artist Alley has become about, all about the art and the print. And then once they come there, then you can sell them the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought if I could start doing something digitally online, I'd get more of an online presence too.
I see.
And that would bring people to the tables and stuff too.
But why not
get out there like this?
Why not do that with sort of Sentinels, the sort of property that you've already developed? Were you kind of getting tired of doing Sentinels, or you just wanted something brand new?
Yeah, I wanted something brand new. I mean, Sentinels was gone and done, and I love revamping it and colorizing it for comicology and stuff like that. But it's kind of a world I need to, need to move away from a little bit, you know. And I have other ideas. Yeah, I just have so many other ideas I want to do. And I kind of like leaving Sentinels the way it is because it was beneath.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one of those people that keeps going back to their, we did the second anthology.
Yeah.
Which was, I thought, were really great closure. And we had a ton of ideas to continue with another, you know, with the kids growing up and everything, a third generation of our team. It was a generational saga.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what? Start doing something new because you're going to be the one trick pony guy.
Well, I like that trick though. It's a trick that I really like.
Thanks.
No, I mean, obviously I like what I've seen of Koa. I mean, it's beautiful stuff. But why did you decide to draw this one? Because I remember in our last interview, we were talking and you were originally set to draw the Sentinels as well. And then you met Luciano and you were like, do you just want to do this? I remember you specifically stating. So have you grown as an artist to where you sort of feel more comfortable doing your own thing, or were you just getting that itch where it's like everyone else is drawing my stuff? I really need to draw my own stuff.
I think it's, again, I think it's both things. One, I'm definitely more comfortable as an artist. I have great design skills, but I didn't always have the good execution skill.
Sure.
So I felt like everything was always off and it wasn't as good as it could be.
Sure.
But I've learned a lot from all the artists I've worked with, Luciano, Jamie, Danielle, Eeyore. You know, all of them have taught me different things in different ways. And doing the prints that I've been doing a lot lately, that gave me a lot more confidence because they sell and people really, you know, enjoy them. So I was like, okay, I can do this now.
Yeah.
Also, like you say, I was kind of like, I want to do something where I'm actually drawing and writing my own stuff because I've never really done that before.
Sure.
And that was always a goal of mine.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And how generally, I mean, like right now with Koa, how far along are you if you're comfortable with saying that? I mean, as far as like the drawn pages and everything, because again, that's
I have about, oh, Sorry, no.
I mean, again, because that's sort of like one of the big wisdoms of like web comics. Like, if you don't have 25 pages lined up, you're gonna fall behind. Like, how many pages do you have going at this point?
Right. I'm sure I will fall behind. If that happens, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm not gonna. I don't know why people are so uptight about that kind of stuff. But I have about 20 pages sketched out.
Uh huh.
And so I have, I think, 9 totally done, but they're not not all colored.
Uh-huh.
I think I have 7 colored.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the next 3 are almost done.
Uh-huh.
So I think I'll be fine. You know,
sure.
I like it that much that I'm going to push it. You know, I have a calendar and I have, you know, okay, have this done by here and this done by here. And I give myself a lot of room in between.
Sure.
So hopefully it'll be successful. But, you know, if I structure myself like that, I'm going to not enjoy it. And then I'm going to resent it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to be one of those angry comic book people at the table who's sitting there. Nobody comes up to them. You know, I've been around that block. So when I first started.
Sure.
You know, and it's tough. It's not fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can imagine. I mean, so, I mean, how does your work process start out? I mean, let's say the week starts Sunday. Like Sunday, are you doodling? Are you thumbnailing? And then like Monday, it's like, okay, we're moving to sketched pencils. And then, you know, come Wednesday, Thursday, like we're moving to full inks. And then at what point does it get sent off to the colorist? Like, is there... You said you have a calendar. Do you have like literally a calendar? Like by Tuesday, pencils need to be done. By Wednesday, inks need to be done.
I literally have a calendar like that. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's not that literal. It's it says it's things like, you know, have page X done. And for me, that's penciled and ink and then send to him.
Okay.
You know, send to the color. So I have things like that. And then I have like when a page has to be posted.
Uh-huh.
So it's really... more like that.
Gotcha.
You know, like page three will get posted tomorrow.
Gotcha.
And page 10 should be completely finished by the end of this week.
Gotcha. And
so that's kind of how I'm working. I don't, like I said, I'm kind of winging it.
Sure,
but
sure.
I'm not, I mean, I've been around this block enough that I'm not afraid to have my own rules for this kind of stuff, because if one thing I've learned in the comic industry is there are no rules.
Sure.
Anybody who tells you there are, they've restricted themselves in that way.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's a really good way to look at it. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of the sort of chatter for webcomics, especially when they were sort of becoming more popular, like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe they hit their like apex, you know, again, with a lot of people sort of like, you know, coming out with podcasts and like saying like, this is how you do it. You know, that was the thing. It was like a professionalism. You got to maintain your audience, but,
right.
It's really interesting to sort of hear the perspective of like, you know what, just, I am going to stay on schedule. Obviously that's my goal, but if it doesn't, I'm not going to commit harikari. You know what I mean? Like it's going
right.
to be okay.
Right. And I would hope that if they're still following it, that they'll, you know, if there ever does come a week where I'm a day or two late or have a skip week, then people understand that. I mean, they're getting a free comic. And
sure.
You know, and I feel like I'm putting out good quality and I want to entertain people and I don't want to slouch on any of that stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm not even thinking about failing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I think once we do that, we start to sabotage ourselves.
Sure. Absolutely. And so obviously you're writing and you're drawing and you're inking. Mm-hmm. Are you paying the colorist? Like, is that money coming out of your pocket or
he is getting paid for coloring. Yes.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. So he's not
that's
like a co-creator.
No, he's not for this.
Gotcha.
But on Blessed Sons, he's the co-creator with me.
Gotcha.
That's our other thing.
Gotcha. Oh, that's cool. That's really good. Yeah. So you've got your own like enterprise going. That's fantastic. What do you see as sort of, because I mean, with the Sentinels, you're selling books, you know, with your,
right.
with your other books, you're selling like figures and stuff like, I mean, Sentinels as well, you're selling figures and Bugged. Right. You've got a graphic novel. What do you see as sort of like the economic model? Because I remember one of the things with webcomics was like, you know, give it away for free, but sell t-shirts, buttons, blah, 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 blah. Right. Are you moving into that sort of thing as well? Or, I mean, I'm sure you'll probably be doing prints and stuff like that. Or is it right now the focus is just to get the story out?
You raise a lot of good questions, and they are things I've thought of. For right now, I think.
Sorry, am I asking questions?
No, not at all, man. I enjoy it. It's right now, my thing is just to get it out there and start building an audience.
Sure.
And have people like it.
Okay.
And then see where it goes. I do see myself doing a printed collection of this.
Sure.
That is a goal of mine, to do a printed version.
Like via Kickstarter or your own?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe via Kickstarter, where they get some kind of incentive rewards. T-shirts would be cool. I would love to see an animated series with this. You know, I kind of see it as like a launching board, a platform where I could just say, okay, here's this thing. Go look at it on the web. You know, for different companies that might be interested in doing a cartoon.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Or an animated thing. And if I get enough younger readers involved, I think they'll dictate where I go next also.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. That's great. Well, let me ask you, I mean, I wrote a review for Bugged on my site a long time ago, not to like shift gears like too hard, but Blessed Sons looks like a horror book. Bugged looks like a horror book. First of all, Bugged was great. I don't know if you ever read the review that I put up on my site. Like, I think last year I did like some Halloween comics and Bugged was one of them. And I really, I really enjoyed it. So, let me get that out of the way. So I'm a fan of just about everything that you're doing.
Yeah, but I don't remember if I saw that one.
Well, I can send you a link if I can find.
Oh yeah,
I
mean, please do.
I'll send you a link, but either way, I mean, it seems like you're sort of shifting gears into sort of more of a horror space for like that sort of thing. Can you speak? Are you a horror fan? Have you always been a horror fan, or is this
totally?
Oh, really? Totally.
I love scary movies.
Oh, yeah. That's great. When did you sort of, because for a long time, obviously, it seems with Sentinels and Neverminds, you're sort of embracing superheroes, like that sort of thing. Obviously, something that you and I sort of both love. At what point were you like, hey, I got to make a horror graphic novel? Like, I'm getting the itch, I've got this bug in my brain, to use a bad pun, keep going.
I think it's tough to do a horror, type book. And with Bug, I didn't have an idea for that until I connected with that artist. And he had done a story in Sentinel, first anthology we did. And he was an artist. His name was Teo. And he's in Buenos Aires. And I loved his artwork. And it just gave me this really odd feeling. You know, I look at his art, and his lines were so sketchy. And just everything about it just gave me the idea to do Bug.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that came from, but I've always been interested in like scary stuff and all. But I've never really read any comics that I've loved. So I wanted to do something a little different. And now with Blessed Sons, I guess this time I did get the itch to do something a little darker. And I should have sent you some of these pages, because you would enjoy. I didn't even think of doing that. I apologize.
No, it's
up in the ass with it.
No, it's fine. I mean, but, just that one panel looks really awesome.
Cool. Thanks. Eeyore. It's all Eeyore. I mean, it's another thing where I'm writing this for him.
Yeah.
He's someone I've gotten to know, and I know his personality, and I know his art style. Like with Jamie on Nevermind, Jamie Fay, his art, he draws beautiful women.
Yeah.
He draws beautiful women that aren't sexualized, but they're still beautiful. They're kick-ass, they're tough, they got their own personality, and that was what we wanted to make that book about. Eeyore draws guys better.
Uh-huh.
And he draws beautiful women too, but I think a lot of his strength is his male characters. So this is kind of like an all, I'm hoping that we get the Twilight type dark Buffy or Teen Wolf crowd for this. I'm looking for like teen angst, and with this, because it's kind of it's kind of dark, but it's not like guts and gore. I'm not into guts and gore. I'm more into scary and
sure, atmosphere, horror, like, stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. Have you ever read, I mean, this isn't necessarily, and I'm about to drop something on you that you're probably going to hate me for because it's like 18 books. But have you ever read Monster, the manga Monster?
No.
It's not horror. It's more sort of like a murder, sort of like thriller. If you read the first two books of that, you're going to get back to me and be like, I hate you. Now I have to buy all 18 books. You're the worst human being ever. It's just a recommendation if you're into that sort of like thriller sort of thing. It's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
You should definitely check that out. Yeah, Monster. It's just called Monster, and you can find it on Amazon. But it's not particularly horror. There's a lot of like really great character development, but you know there's a little bit of messed up stuff. I'm trying to think of like other. Oh, there's a. Have you ever read Dragonhead? That was a Tokyo Pop thing. I don't even think that's you can find that anymore. That's a great book.
No, I've never
that's
read that.
Really creepy. Yeah, that one's about I think a bunch of kids that are like on a train trip and like. Tokyo, Japan experiences this like volcanic eruption, or at least that's what they think it is. And it's just like sort of like a post-apocalyptic. It's crazy. If you can ever get your hands on that, definitely. I mean, it sounds like those two things might be up your alley a bit, but I digress. Can you, but can you speak to, because it seems like what you're finding here, first of all, you're finding amazing artists. That's the first thing. How
I'm so lucky that way.
But yeah, how are you doing that? I mean, because last time you were like, oh yeah, the internet is like the greatest thing or whatever. But I know a lot of people, or I know some people who have gone online, wanted to start their own comic book, you know, and had a really hard time finding like dependable or good artists. Where do you go to find your artists? Right. And then how are you setting up, like, how do you keep them? I mean, this sounds like an odd way to say it, but it is an odd way to say it. How do you keep them dependable? Like, how do you keep them on point? How do you know that they're going to be reliable? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, first of all, of course, I've worked with artists who have totally let me down.
Oh, really?
And artists who have flaked, and artists who didn't finish stuff, artists who caliber of their work changed. And that's part of the business, I think, especially when you're an indie, you know, publisher and you're doing your own thing. It is a little, you know, kind of luck of the draw sometimes. But
yeah.
I think now that I've been doing it for a while, I'm able to, at least I feel like I can get to know somebody, and you know I can just kind of get a vibe of them and how they're going to be, and then you kind of just have to hope for the best, and you have to put a little bit of wiggle room in. Like if you want to get something done, say by this point, you got to make sure you know okay, well life's going to happen between. They probably won't really get it done till here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've had stuff that was supposed to be done like a year before it came out, and then it took even longer. And that's sometimes because of the artist, and sometimes it's because of myself. You know, I'm not gonna say I've had things that have delayed stuff and all, but I've been very fortunate with the main artist I've worked with, and I don't know why that is exactly. I just have had a good connection with certain people, and I just do my best. So that it inspires them to do their best.
Sure.
And I try to encourage them, and I feel like they encourage me. So it's kind of like a win-win situation.
And what's your main communication method? You know, because, well, where does the guy live who's coloring your book? I mean, it's like Ukraine?
Well, he lives in Ukraine. Yeah,
wow.
He lives in the Ukraine. So we're totally on the over the internet.
Okay. But I mean, like email or Skyping or like, well, you said you have.
I'm actually on Facebook, a lot of it. Facebook,
oh, really?
Yeah.
So like chatting, and you think, and you're able to communicate with them like efficiently that way. Like you don't need like sort of voice or face to face. So you're good like that.
No, I said, no, we're good like that. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Jamie on Nevermind, he's right here in the city. So him, I see in person all the time. Luciano has been here in New York twice in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So I get to see him in person and all. And, you know, I don't know. It's just really easy to talk with them over the internet. I don't have a problem with it. If they ever want to Skype, I'm happy to Skype too.
Sure.
But
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Whatever way works.
It just seems like you've really been able to make this sort of thing work where, you know, that is sort of one of the biggest things for a writer is finding an artist who's dependent. Because, like, look, like, honestly, like, your stuff, like, the stuff that you're putting out, like, Koa, you know, Sentinels, even Sentinels from, like, the beginning, like, it's professional quality. Like, this is stuff that is just as great looking as anything like that the big two are putting out, you know, or Image or anything like that. Like, I mean, it looks, it's beautiful stuff. So there's definitely a thing that you've been able to achieve that not a lot of people can. Right. I mean,
I guess, I mean, I don't like to toot my own horn too much. I mean, I was lucky. I mean, hey, Sentinel had three different starts before it ever got off the ground. I was drawing it myself and I did four issues. And then I met an artist at a bar who was from, Denmark, and he was redrawing it because his art was much better. And then he kind of disappeared in the middle of it. And I was left hanging, so I kind of went back, and I was going to draw it myself. And then through a chance meeting, I met Luciano, and that was it. It clicked.
Yeah.
That took, like, a year and a half to, like, even get to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't all, like, you know, roses.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I guess...
But once I work with somebody, I feel like I develop a relationship with them, you know?
Sure.
If I can't communicate with them, I think the work kind of is kind of dry. You know, it feeds into the work, you know?
Sure, sure, sure.
So I don't enjoy that. And usually that doesn't work out for me either. So hopefully it's the same for them.
Gotcha. And I'm looking through your site. Is Nevermind done? Is it like four issues and that's
No, we're actually working on the fifth issue. Nevermind, we had some setbacks with, and we took a little break from it too. Jamie had some stuff going on. He got a lot of freelance work on the other side.
Gotcha.
And then he moved, and then I was kind of busy doing other stuff, and we decided to do the second Sentinels anthology, and Jamie actually ended up drawing most of that.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So now we're back on it. So it was good to take a little bit of a break. It kind of stinks that it's so long between the last issue and this new one that we're working on. But hopefully people who were there for it will understand and they'll come back for it. And we'll just bang out the finish the first arc. And then we'll do a trade maybe down after that.
And everyone can read this stuff on Comixology, right? If they don't buy it on your store?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have everything on Comixology. Well, not all the Sentinels work. We just have the colorized versions on there for right now.
Yeah.
And Bugged is on there. All four Nevermind issues are on there. Koa is free online at koacomic.com. And then we'll have Blessed Sons out in the spring. The first issue is almost done. And I'm excited to get that one out, too, because it's a little different. Hopefully people will like it.
Yeah, no, I can't.
My same dark humor with a twist.
So
there's always a twist.
So, but you had said with the Sentinels, you kind of let it slip a little bit there. You were like, the black and white ones we haven't released on. Are you thinking of doing sort of like the original cut of those, like on Comixology, like the black and white issues as well, or?
No. No, because I think the quality of that, it's so much better now with the colorized version. I was more thinking of the anthology. We have not put the anthologies up there yet because we were afraid it kind of has spoilers for this whole series.
Oh, I see.
And anybody following it, the digital versions, it would ruin it for them. But we actually think that we might actually put them up now.
Gotcha.
So
oh,
that's probably why I was hesitating.
Gotcha.
Plus, I'm almost out of print with the black and white.
That's so funny because you said that like 2 years ago, and I was like, "Do I have collector's editions?" It looks like I do.
Well, the first book is totally almost gone. I think I have one box left.
Wow. Need to get on it. You need to go to his store. It's drumfishproductions.com, and you need to buy the Sentinels black and white versions. I mean, go to Comixology and buy the color. colors if you want those. Yes, please support him. But I'm just saying, like, the black and white, you will have a collector's edition, and somebody will make a movie or a TV show out of the Sentinels, which they should, and then you will have a collector's edition.
That would be awesome.
And you could sell it on eBay for $500. Just kidding.
Yeah, right?
No, I mean, I love those books. They are actually out in my living room, like, on my bookshelf.
Oh,
like,
awesome.
They are some
Thank
of the
you, man.
You know how you have comics that are, like, in the box, and then there's, like, comics on on a bookshelf in your office, and then there's comics that are out in the bookshelf in the living room. Your books are on the bookshelf out in the living room. That's how much I love the Sentinels. So, you know,
that's awesome.
If you order these on,
and I know you got a Templar figure too.
I got a Templar and I got a Harlette. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's so funny because Templar.
That's right.
Yeah, well, Harlette was the one that I wanted the last time we interviewed, and you guys hadn't done her yet, and that's why when I ran into you at New York Comic Con, I was like, oh my God, you've got Harlette. Yeah. So I had to buy her. But it's funny because Templar, he fell over like almost like right when I got back to, I got them safe and sound to like California, and he fell over.
Oh,
and his ponytail broke off. I repaired it. It's totally fine.
Oh, but I was just like, sorry.
Oh no, it's. Defecation occurs, stuff happens, like, what are you gonna do? But like, I was just like, oh no, but he's fine because it crazy glued like right
okay,
back
good.
In but if you if you buy your stuff on Comixology, is it only readable through the, like, do you get downloadable PDFs, like stuff like that? Because some publishers do and some publishers don't. Like, is it just readable on Comixology, or
I believe it's only readable on Comixology.
Gotcha.
But I'm not positive because I have my own PDFs of it.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I've never read them on there.
But even so, the price is reasonable. They're 99 cents each, at least for the Sentinels. And yeah,
right.
I mean, that's a really good price. I mean, that's one of the things, one of the reasons I never really full on jumped into Comixology or digital comics is that I'm paying like $4. And you're not even giving me like a real file. Like, I'm, you know, there's no paper involved. There's no, so like 99 cents seems much more of a reasonable price point for me to pay. Yeah, does that make sense?
Right. No, absolutely. I thought it was fair. I mean, and I'm the same way. I'd rather have the PDF on my desktop or whatever, but I think they have something so that you don't share the files or all over the place or something.
Well, a lot of indie publishers, at least a while ago, were offering the downloaded as well as the, you know, they were offering that, but you know, it's like still, right. I'm still like $4 for, you know, even a PDF for me is, maybe I'm just cheap. I just, you know, but I'm actually clicking through and looking inside at the colorized versions, and they look really nice. You guys have done a really good job with the Sentinels, I'm telling you.
Thanks.
So, I mean, your webcomic is called Koa, and it's koacomic.com. And, you know, everyone should go and read it every week. I noticed that you have a character called Vecchi. Is he named after Luciano? Did you make
that? That's my little tribute to Luciano.
That's
in the past with Sentinels.
That's so great.
In the past with Sentinels, I put a lot of people in that I knew.
Sure.
At least, you know, in different ways, they were tributes to people in my family or friends or what have you.
Yes.
And of course, you know, actually that character in Koa connects with the Sentinels universe.
Really? Oh my.
Yeah, that's the tie-in.
You heard it here
first.
So
it had to be named Vecchi.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, I love all your work. I love all your artist work. I think everything is absolutely fantastic. I've been a fan for a long time. Everyone should go to drumfishproductions.com, buy your stuff. I see you still have figures as well left.
Yes.
So that's great. Those, and I can say, you know, I'll say online right now because, you know, when I first saw them, I was like, what are they, like little dinky, like plastic things? But no, they are like, I mean, they're small, but they're good quality. Like, I was impressed when I ran into you last year, and I bought two of them. So I think they're really, really good, you know, well-designed and like good product as far as like figurines are concerned. So if people are fans of the Sentinels or Neverminds, you should definitely, you've got an endorsement from me saying like, hey, these are good. And you're talking to a guy who buys maquettes and stuff like that. That is my weakness a lot of times. So you've got an endorsement. So yeah, everything you do is great. Thank you for coming on.
Thank
this.
You.
I've been speaking.
I should talk to you more often.
Yeah. I can be your support group, you know, like when you're down or whatever. But yes, no, I've been talking to Rich Bernatovich. I got it right again, I hope.
Yep.
And you are working on the Koa webcomic. You've got the Sentinels, Nevermind, Bugged, Blessed Sons coming out next year. And it's drumfishproductions.com. Are you doing any convention appearances in the near future?
Yes, I have. I have one definite show lined up so far. It's Emerald City Comic-Con.
Oh, cool. Oh, I've always
wanted to go.
So I've
never been to Seattle. Yeah, I've never been there. I got in. And I'm excited to check it out. I've never been to Seattle, and I've never been to that convention. So I'm happy to do that one. I got into C2E2, which I've never been to.
Oh, wow.
So I just need to figure out if that's one I could do. And then there's a Philly show, which I haven't decided on yet either. So those are the only three, and other everything else is kind of up in the air right now. This is like the month where I start making my plans for 2017.
Gotcha. Yeah, December. Yeah, December's the time to make plans, right in the middle of all the holiday madness. That's a good idea. That's sarcasm, by the way.
Yeah. Well, because if you don't book up stuff soon,
kind
of goes, and
that's
I
right.
put in my vacation request for work, you know.
I got it.
But Emerald City, I'm definitely signed up for, and that one I'll definitely be in. That's March 3rd through 5th.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I've always wanted to go to that one. My wife is from Seattle, and Seattle's a really nice city, but haven't been back in a long time. Check them out.
They got a reason. She lived there.
Yeah.
I mean, from
used
there.
To. Used to a long time ago. We've been in LA for a very long time. I've had Rich Bernatovich on the line, and I love his work, and everyone should check it out. Thank you for coming on Part-Time Vanboy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, anytime. And my name is Christian Horn. And, you know, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Facebook. We have an Instagram. We're on iTunes, all that good stuff. Thank you for listening. And hopefully we will be back next week with a new episode. Bye.
Part-Time Fanboy. Part-time. Part-time fanboy.